Speaking the truth to the state capitol, this is Drive Time Lincoln with the commander, Jack Rickens, on the voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, folks, Thursday, April 27th. Nice spring day. Might be a little rain, they say, is coming tomorrow. But I think we can take all the rain we can handle. I am your host, Restoring American Values, bringing common sense to the capital city. Johnny Cadillac's executive producing the show, and still with an I, not steel like the metal or the color, showing that he should be a United States Navy sailor with that standing at attention pose he can do. Or in the Army, Air Force, Space Force, Coast Guard, or the Marine Corps.
There were so many times in that you almost broke me.
You could be a police officer, too, because they have to stand at attention at times as well. I suspect firemen, firewomen, have to as well.
Well, I'm glad it impresses.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're surviving the week. I hope you enjoyed Doug Fitzgerald yesterday. As a matter of fact, Johnny, I don't even know who Doug had on. What did Doug do with the show yesterday?
Tom Duden on.
Oh, okay. So he had a candidate in.
Yep.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. I can assure everybody, well, I can't because I won't be here Monday, but in my last two shows, we won't have a candidate in. We will have the political director of the NEGOP in tomorrow, first half of the show. But other than that, no, we'll just continue. But I'm glad Doug got a candidate on. I think it's important, and everybody's always welcome. I hope as the show moves forward that will still be the case, and I suspect it will be. Again, 2 days to go for me. We have the fellas from Branch Oak Observatory, and Matt and Michael. We will get to them in a second, and we are going to just stay all show on stars, observatory, going-ons out there, whatever else we can come up with in space and all the exciting news. Just off air, I was learning a few things I have missed. I must be getting lazy. First of all, because this is a news opinion show, just let me say, for those of you that are following closely, LB-626, which essentially we know is the Heartbeat Act, didn't pass cloture. So that one, for all intents and purposes, is dead. I've said this before when it comes to abortion things. It seems to be a very hot topic, only really during election times for the most part. I personally don't understand why it stirs so much emotion. I don't appreciate either side of the extremes of it. But what I will say is, once again, the Supreme Court nationally did not outlaw abortion. It's up to the states. And in the case of our states, for everybody out there, abortion is legal. And in this case, this attempt was to give you a date window from which you had to decide. So I think it's good we talk in facts. And the facts were that abortion is legal and still remains so. And certainly conservatives were trying to lessen kind of the window, which I viewed as a compromise opposed to what some members of the Conservative Party would like, a total ban. But in the end of the day, it is no more. And so I suspect from now until my death, it will continue to come up in every election, at every level, and every time a state legislature gets together. Those are just my thoughts. Like I said, it doesn't personally affect me at this moment in time. I can kind of see both sides, but I never appreciate when the gamesmanship goes to such extremes and we just don't talk about facts and then solve the common problem. But there's your news, folks. So let's get on to more fun things like Branch Oak Observatory. Matt, Michael, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Well, you betcha. You're some of my favorite guests, if not my favorite. Let me ask you, because I was checking out your Facebook post, and seems like you've got a really good young astronomer named Anderson Z. And he clearly, I believe, has won some binoculars from you guys. But so, Anderson, hoo yah to you. You can't go wrong studying, being interested in space, and you're with the right crew with Matt, Michael, and all the team at Branch Oak Observatory. So congratulations. I'll let them tell me what you did, but I got to ask. Celestron astronomical binocular drawing. Is Celestron an actual word, or is that a hybrid mixing in with Transformers for the young people?
No, Celestron is a popular brand of equipment.
Oh.
So we have, okay. We actually have a number of Celestron telescopes out at the
observatory. Okay, so somebody now is like, oh, Commander, how'd you miss that? But you could see where I was going with that. I was like, that's a pretty good tagline for young kids getting into astronomy. But, okay, so Celestron makes equipment for astronomy. It makes sense. And Anderson Z, what did he do to win this stuff?
So we had
He actually won Celestron binoculars.
That's correct.
Gotcha. Thinking Vortex. I'm thinking, all these hunting products.
Yeah. So we had an outreach event over at the State Museum at Morrill Hall. We were helping them out, along with a number of other astronomy education organizations. Everywhere from Lincoln to Omaha, people came in all in order to celebrate astronomy and science education. So instead of being out at Branched Oak Observatory, this was there at the museum.
Okay.
And they had hundreds of people come through. They just had to pay admission, but then on top of what the museum can already, kind of giving an ad to Morrill Hall, but hey, they deserve it. It's a great museum.
It is.
But not only did people get a chance to see everything there at the museum has to offer in the planetarium, but they also got to meet with a number of different astronomy educators. We were set up. We had some fantastic astronomy activities where kids got to make planispheres, got to make sundials to take those with them. We also had some wonderful NASA giveaways, but we also had a drawing. It was a kids-only drawing, so the kids had to put their name down. The parents then, of course, put the contact information down, and Anderson won the binoculars that we had.
Good job, and for all the youth going to that, that's awesome. You can't go wrong, I think, with what you guys do in astronomy, and frankly, I know you're in here for years, but Morrill Hall's a state gem.
Absolutely.
I remember field trips as little as five coming to Lincoln to go to Morrill Hall, and to this day, I still enjoy walking in there. And it was difficult as a university student not to just bop in about every week and get caught looking at something or reading something and skip class. I love Morrill Hall. We do a good job with museums and studying different arts. And then you mentioned sundial, and that threw me back to, that's one of the coolest things a young person can learn is how you can essentially tell time by the sun.
That's right.
And
you know, Jack Dunn there at the Morrill Hall, he's no longer there, but he ran the planetarium for many, many years. So if you visited the planetarium when you were younger, I did, we ran into ran into Jack, and I'll tell you, he's one of the folks who probably got me pointed in the direction of astronomy and astronomy education, as well as many other people. So
I was such a prized possession in the University of Nebraska that I know I took a few dates to the planetarium. I just love the planetariums now, though. I mean, well, they can make them a lot different than what we saw, but I mean, in the end of the day, with all the technology, not only are planetariums better, but getting the real deal with what you guys do is pretty cool. Got to ask you, we talked a little bit just because I saw it on the news about, the green lights, the aurora borealis, mm-hmm. Swooping south. How many times does that happen? It's kind of come all the way into the Midwest.
Well, obviously, auroral activity is extremely common,
right, all the
if
time.
You're in the right place. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is that you just have charged particles from the sun, generally from solar activity. When you have coronal mass ejections, or when you just have a great deal of solar activity from solar prominences, kind of breaking off of the surface, throwing charged particles, protons, electrons, et cetera, into space. If it's coming towards our direction, it gets trapped within the northern and southern magnetic poles. We don't hear about the aurora australis very often.
No, we don't.
Because we're in the northern hemisphere, but they get the southern lights, we get the northern lights, and the further you are towards the north, more chances you're going to get to see this wonderful light show. These charged particles ionize the gases, just like a neon sign, Eat It Joe's or Bud Light,
sure,
whatever. It's glowing neon gas, maybe some other gases. In this case, it's called causing nitrogen and oxygen in our atmosphere to glow. And it just produces this amazing, random, beautiful light show. And if you have enough solar activity, if you have enough auroral activity, it can get into the southern states. And it's rare that it happens for us. But this last week or so, we've seen some wonderful photographs from people showing some incredible aurora photographs.
Yeah, and as the sunspot cycle is on the upswing here,
yeah, we are.
We would fully anticipate that there will be more activity like this. So,
and there are websites that not only will give you predictions, but there are apps that will ring you and tell you, go out tonight and take a look. And yeah, really the key, just like with the with meteor showers, you've got to get away from city lights. You cannot expect to look out your back door and look up and sure, see a thing. You've got to get away from city lights. Go north, of course,
right,
then look north, let your eyes adjust, and you might be in for a wonderful light show.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I think, I mean, it's, I can't recall ever seeing kind of, hey, it is near us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that could mean me not paying attention.
Oh, it has, but it's rare. We've seen it out at Branched Oak Observatory a few times, and it can be anywhere from just the entire sky, or at least what you perceive being green or purple, mm-hmm, to actual maybe linear features,
sure,
or seeing some interesting body characteristics to it. But yeah, we have seen it.
I'll be dang. Interesting.
Yeah, we saw that one that was like a shaft. We thought it was a shaft of light. And
yeah, we were out
Starlink
at Branched
out there giving off neon colors.
We were out at Branched Oak Observatory, and we saw what appeared to be a spotlight going up in the sky, and we're just wondering, who is that? What is that? Is there a nightclub opening up there in the in the up north of us? We didn't know what it was, and then we slowly perceived it moving a little bit, and we realized this was some type of an aurora. Mm. And then later, now this isn't it's a shortened version, abbreviation, but right, it was called a Steve, which always cracks us up that we saw a Steve type of aurora produced, relatively rare, and we got to see one out there.
Oh, that's wild. Matt, at the complex, you guys just keep building.
We do. And
how's it going?
We have an amazing project here. It's the our new multi-purpose center is well underway. Thank you to the Kunkel family. And they have contributed an amazing amount to this project. And it's a 1,800 square foot facility. The original genesis was just we wanted indoor restrooms because we'd always use porta potties out mm-hmm. there. So it started off as a, if you'll pardon it, we just wanted a good two holer that was warm and cool. And everybody started putting their 2 cents worth in. And all of a sudden we have this beautiful facility now. The classroom experience is going to be phenomenal. It's a really an open slate, handicapped accessible. There's a lot of things that are going to happen, just not only the multi-purpose center. For the first time, we're going to have some concrete out there for our handicap parking. Our entire parking on the west side of the observatory is now all going to be graveled. And while that doesn't sound really super exciting, when you start thinking about we've had to cancel events because we could not park people,
right,
now that's not going to be an issue. And then all the concrete pads will be connected by sidewalks as well as the buildings. And we're also going to be making the rest of the buildings we have handicapped accessible. So that serves a couple of purposes.
Yeah.
One is when we bring in school groups, they'll be completely accessible. Two, for the general public as well. And three, just to really enhance the viewing experience out at the observatory. And this is just the first phase of our growth. And this is really exciting.
This is a truly multi-purpose center.
Yes.
It's not just a classroom. It's also a library. All the tables will be able to change into different configurations. So maybe a business might like to have a retreat and mm-hmm. have a meeting out there,
sure,
or maybe have training out there.
Yeah.
We can even move all the tables aside if maybe some kids just want to sit on the floor and have lunch. So this building is just going to be a fantastic addition to what we can do.
And when we start doing some of our overnights or some of our camps, we would have the ability to temporarily be able to have kids if they needed a place to, you know, we could have them sleep overnight.
Sure.
And we do, when we get our Cub Scout groups and Girl Scout groups out there, they like to camp on the grounds. And now they have a place to come if the weather becomes inclement.
Well, I don't know if they have a badge that says find shelter when there's bad weather. They want those guys to dig in like we did in the military and get your tent all good to go. No, there probably is actually the old be smart badge, but no, that's great. I hope you guys have a photographic history of your place.
We've taken thousands of photographs. Right.
And now that you're
going to
have the multi-purpose facility, I mean, that'll have enough space that you could do a historical thing.
Oh,
that'd
yes.
be pretty cool. Because, you know, but in the end of the day, folks, what Matt's really talking about is you're getting more access to the public. And everybody, from children to big groups to just something simple as parking, so you don't have a rain out because the parking's all muddy.
And then also a fundamental change in the way we're doing business. Beginning Memorial Day, we're going to be open every weekend again, Memorial Day to Labor Day, every Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we're looking for some additional funding to come through. And then we're going to be open 5 days a week, and we're hoping to bring that beyond Labor Day and to take us all year around.
Real quick, before we get to the break, you do have an event tomorrow night. Tell us about it.
Yep, James Arthur. It's our wine and stargazing event. We partner with James Arthur Vineyards. You can go to their website yet still today and reserve your spot.
All right. Michael, I'm going to preload you with this question.
Okay.
Just because it's my last couple days on the radio. You don't have to answer right now, but I want you to think about it. Why in the world can we not figure out what is the nothingness of space? Okay. Just think about that. Like, I'm just gonna call it black matter space. Why? why can't we figure out what it is, or do we have some idea? That intrigues me, and I want to know a little bit more. All right, folks. Branch Oak Observatory. Michael and Matt on 1499.3 KLIN.
You're getting the 411 from DTL. With Commander Jack Riggins on 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, folks, we got Matt and Michael from Branch Oak Observatory in talking astronomy, astrology. What's the other word?
Australia.
Australia. Yeah, we're talking about Australia, too.
G'day.
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 Interesting. Whew, I mean, yeah, how many times can I botch that word? It'll be interesting as I move forward. Always a joy to have you both in here.
That's great to
be glad
here.
The observatory is really expanding and such new ideas and really the facilities you're getting, but also coming in and answering my silly questions about, you know, outside of Earth, but sometimes in Earth, like the Aurora Borealis. So, you know, it goes there. Michael, I don't want you to answer that question yet. I want you to keep thinking. But you guys are going to have, kicking off, as you always do, the kind of superstars of your events. And you've got community superstars coming up next.
So starting last year, thanks to Security First Bank, we were able to start a program that we called the Community Superstar Recognition Program, where we wanted to recognize special folks, teachers, first responders, even truck drivers here within the community, just to thank them, recognize them for what they do. And as a way to thank them, we would have a raffle, a free raffle for a pair of Vortex Crossfire, really high-end binoculars. And it was extremely popular. And now we've just started up that program again here. It's a little late, I know, but we're starting it up in late April, and our April superstar is going to be formal and informal educators. And what we mean by that would be K through 12 teachers. We're talking university instructors, but we're also talking homeschool teachers. We're talking museum personnel. We're talking anyone who works with kids, maybe scout leaders.
Yeah, I love
informal educators. They can
sign up on Facebook.
So if you go to Facebook, you can just sign up. We'll put you in. And it ends Monday.
All right, folks, we'll come back to that and remind you all again, but another great opportunity to recognize good people in our community. 1499.3 KLIN.
Drive Time Lincoln with the Commander Jack Riggins on the Voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, folks, back Thursday, April 27th, second segment here. We've had the Branch Oak Observatory fellas on, Michael and Matt, and we're going through kind of their new layouts, new programs, just everything that's going on there, answering a few questions about space. They do have an event tomorrow night.
Yes, the James Arthur Vineyards Wine and Stargazing event. That's an incredible event.
And we'll tell you, the views through the telescopes look so much better after a few glasses of wine.
It's incredible, yes.
Well, there you go, folks. There's a little secret the professionals will let you know. Probably just it clears up your viewing pathways.
Yeah, your pupil relaxes, lets more light in.
And, of course, we talked a little bit about, you know, as I like to say, community superstars, or just recognizing the folks that kind of make our community go, and they do a great job. This month's April is formal and informal educators. On the Facebook page, just go to Facebook, Branch Oak Observatory. You'll see the post. You can sign up there.
And if you're not on Facebook, just go to our website at theboo.org and just send us a message and just let us know where you work or the education organization that you work with, your name and your contact information, and we'll put you in the contest.
Speaking of your website, you mentioned it. I saw it. You've got a merchandise store up now.
Yes, we do. We call it affectionately Boo Gear. You can get on there and we have an official couple of t-shirts, have an official hat, more merchandise to come. We're going to have some drinkables coming on, but 100% of the profits goes to support the Branch Oak Observatory. And while we're talking about support, we do have a support tab button on there. You know, all the things that we're talking about here, when you come out to the observatory, it's free. You are enjoying an amazing, incredible experience that you can only find in the world. You know, our Earth, Moon, Earth, that's going to be one of our capstone experiences. Nobody else globally, and I don't say this lightly, nobody else in the world is doing what we're doing at the Branch Oak Observatory when it comes to Earth, Moon, Earth. Now, there are other ham radio operators that do it individually, but you will not find this at a public observatory. And when you come out, you're going to have a full experience. And when you leave, you will have an amazing memory. And then we're going to have Project Moon Bounce. It's an actual mission. And so it is.
Do you have mission patches made?
We do have mission patches, and they are made.
Otherwise, I was going to be like, guys, you got to get patches.
We got that. And then, as we say, there'll be a certificate suitable for framing. So, Commander, we're hoping that you and your family will please come on out there and, our first Navy SEAL to the moon.
I don't know if I want to hear my own voice bounce off the moon. Because I've listened to my voice a lot on this radio station.
I'll tell you what, I've never been to the moon before.
That's true. To the moon and back. We've had some frogmen that have been astronauts, but we have not had one that I'm aware of set foot on the moon. And second, let alone bounce their voice and get a piece of yourself there.
You can be the very first, Commander.
It's a big deal
something,
to be the first.
Something to chat with the boys about.
All right, there you go. No doubt about it. You know, anytime you can be first. I talked with a guy the other day and he said he made up a Guinness Book of World Records because you can do that if you're the first to do something. He said the paperwork was hard, but his was around golf. And so he came up with a golf one that nobody in the world had thought of. And then, he did all the paperwork. He got it done, got it certified. And for like 8 years, he held this title until somebody went through the Guinness Book of World Records. And he said, it's just because I wanted to get it done. I just wanted to have a Guinness Book of World Records. I said, well, there you go. And I'd like to be first to the moon. I kind of like your idea there, Matt.
Well, we got it when we have her all up and running fully, which will be here shortly. We're doing some stuff on a little bit lower power in our digital modes, which don't require as much power. But we do have commercial power laid out there. Our electricians are out there now as we're speaking, getting things put together. So
there you go.
As soon as we're ready to roll, we will bring you out.
You talked about your multipurpose center and sponsorships and people wanting to get involved. And you still have opportunities around your facility for support.
Yes, we do.
So Steve Kunkel, who's mm-hmm. really been primary in helping us put this new building together, his family will be on the namesake of this building for 5 years. We are still looking for sponsorship for the classroom inside. Okay. So if there's a person, a family, a business, an organization that would like to see their name on our classroom, we'd love to hear from you and talk with you about those opportunities.
And it's really going to be important because the education that comes out of there is going to be impactful into the community. We have a world-class education department. Michael is the head of our new education department. He's our director of education, and the staff that he is surrounding himself with is unparalleled. And when you come out and you get to hear programming, it is going to be spectacular. It will be life-changing. It will be impactful. And one of the thrusts for us is actually reaching out into the community for those kids that don't have an opportunity, per se, because of social or economic status. We want to eliminate those barriers. Mm-hmm. And this is where we're hoping to get some additional partnerships to help offset some of the costs. But even then, we want those kids. So we're talking like with United Way, Boys and Girls Club, Girls Inc., Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. These organizations, we want them to be able to come out and have this experience that they can't find anywhere else.
And with this new building, we'll be able to do it rain or shine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Daytime, nighttime.
I mean, you essentially have your own first class classroom and
yes.
large, and like you said, the infrastructure going on, and you certainly have the expertise. And one of the things I've always enjoyed about you guys is certainly there is a give back thread that runs through everybody involved in Branch Oak Observatory. Maybe pay it forward even, but you know, it's around something that is sometimes difficult to understand, but really once you start to get with people that know, it is so fun and so curious and can just spark the mind. I've talked many times with you guys how it did for me as a youngster, and I really like that because you've got the youth, but you're even educating adults. I mean, this is just a really neat thing, folks. And like you said, it's paid for, folks. I mean, you could go out there and take part in these programs, and it's really cool. You know what I mean? Johnny is bouncing around. Michael, we have to try to answer the question. To me, it's always just been this interesting thing. I've never seen a good explanation. If I were to go into space and you know, take a cup and just scoop outside of my spaceship, put a top on it, you know, get it hermetically sealed, whatever we got to do, and then bring it back. What is that stuff?
There would be something there, but it is as close to nothing as nothing can be. The air that we're breathing right now has 10 million trillion atoms in it.
Right.
In space, you have about 0.1 atom per cubic centimeter. So there is something there, but it's hardly anything. Now, when we look at these beautiful nebulae in space, these giant clouds of dust and gas, inside of that nebula, it's still nearly a vacuum. There's so little material there, even though it looks beautiful to our eyes, there's so little material there that the vacuum inside that nebula is greater than the best vacuum chamber here on Earth. You need to get into the core of protostellar nebulas or into maybe other planets to actually find this mass that has coalesced into itself. So is space empty? No. This is what we call the interstellar medium, but there is very, very little material there. There is material there.
And that's the word. The proper word is the
interstellar medium.
But again, folks, if you think about it, just the most basic chemistry, physics, right? Everything's made of something.
And it is hydrogen and helium, the most common, and there's going to be some small amounts of other things, but the most common element in the universe by far is going to be hydrogen, the most simple of all the elements, and then you slowly go down the periodic table.
But it is safe to say, as you said before, it is nothing.
It's as close to nothing as you can be.
As has been measured or it can be, and I just find it to be a very baffling, neat riddle. I mean, it isn't nothing, but boy, it's empty.
So material, you know, they say that things flock together, and that's what this material does. You have over enough time, this material finds itself, this interstellar medium from stars. When a star explodes or just sloughs off its outer layers, it mixes with the interstellar medium. Thanks to shockwaves caused by supernova events, this material is pushed together. It kind of is that domino effect, starts the effect. Gravity then takes its grasp and then starts to condense this into protostellar nebulas. And then we form new stars. Out of those new stars, you have small, medium, and large stars. Large stars go supernova, and the process starts all over again. It's a cosmic recycling program.
Johnny, what did you learn?
I'm just all sorts of baffled now.
Just think about that as you're trying to go to bed tonight.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, it's very interesting. I think appreciate the answer in the both the common sense, kind of as close to nothing as we can, and then the detailed. It's interesting stuff.
And that's really part of the reason too why things in space, when they're hot, they remain hot for such a long period of time, because we don't have that thermal exchange like when you have something hot here on Earth. You have the air that it can go to, and that's what when we look at Michael's the meteorite collection, that's another experience, right? No, at a public observatory, this meteorite collection is the best in the world.
Wow.
And not only is it the best in the world, but you get actually feel, hold history.
Yeah.
And experience history.
I like to say it's the oldest rock you'll ever hold until you pick up the next one. But these are leftovers from the formation of the solar system.
Wow.
These are thought to originate from the asteroid belt, material that was kind of trapped in a gravitational tug of war between the sun and Jupiter, didn't really form into a planet. These collide with each other like a cosmic quasinard over a long period of time, and crust, mantle, and the core of these asteroids take new orbits around the sun, and if that orbit intersects with the orbit of the Earth, then we get a shooting star or falling star, which, of course, nothing to do with stars. It's a piece of rock from space.
Yeah, we could talk all day long. I wanted to ask about some news, but I'm not going to. We're going to do a special announcement in a little bit, but we got some time. Michael, first, what are you most excited about over the next year, either at the observatory or space science and what's going on, you know, out there?
We've got a lot going on at Branch Stoke Observatory.
Sure.
We have many different programs working. We've got two major programs going on. This year, the major program is our Earth, Moon, Earth. We'll have a number of secondary programs. I'll be doing a lot of the lectures that I did at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, astronomy lectures and physics lectures. We'll be doing this nearly every weekend out at Branch Stoke, rain or shine, in our new multipurpose center. So we've got some fantastic programming there. But once we get this Earth, Moon, Earth antenna dialed in, we'll be starting that programming. We're also looking at some science camps, maybe some rocket camps.
Yeah.
We have those planned for this year. Then next year, our big program, to go along with all the other things that we do, will be a communication with the International Space Station.
Oh, that's cool.
So we are really excited to do that. We have the technology. We have the antennas. It's already ready to go. We just need to get the signature on the dotted line and the arrangement with NASA.
If you do rockets, get a GoPro on that thing, would you?
We'll do our best.
Go up.
What we'll probably do is we'll have smaller rockets for the kids, but then we have a gentleman who works out at the observatory who launches some really nice big rockets, and we will definitely put some cameras on those.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Get some nice
footage.
What
about you, Matt?
You know, really to parrot what Michael said, the EME is really just going to be a unique capstone experience that's going to really, I think, help set the Branch Stoke Observatory apart from every other observatory in the world. Now, we have some great partnerships, you know, like with the Prairie Astronomy Club. There's some things that we couldn't do without them. So we're all about partnerships. But, you know, to kind of really toot our own horn, the EME, the SATCOM array, because of that, we're able to do the International Space Station. And we're looking at doing robotics. Now, robotics is very popular right now. We're going to add a twist to it. We're going to get it figured out how you'll be able to take your command and control signal, send it to the International Space Station. It'll bounce that signal back down to that little rover, and then it's going to execute the commands.
That's cool.
Now, just like in real life, sometimes it's going to work. Sometimes it's not. And so we want kids to be that critical thinker, right? Okay, what's my plan B? What next satellite? What next set of commands? So education, getting kids to stretch to become critical thinkers. The other thing that we're looking at, just plain support. You know, a lot of what we have been doing has been really with community partnerships. But we have really turned the page in which the way the observatory operates, and that really, frankly, it takes funds. And so we need to have the financial support from the community, and we know that it's there. We're asking, please go to theboo.org, click on support, but you can also reach out to us, send us an email if you'd like to do more.
Folks, it's a wonderful place with wonderful people, and it's going to be here for a long time, you know, and I think... you know, for those of you that are listening, get involved. They have lots of opportunities to do it. Fellas, you got a special announcement. We got 2 minutes.
We do have a special announcement. As you know, we're doing our community superstar program. And we'd like to say that you've really been a community superstar, particularly for us. We are so appreciative of what you've done for us over the years to really get the word out about Branch Stoke Observatory. And we just wanted to let you know how important that's been to
us. I appreciate that very much.
And as you know, with our community superstars comes the chance, putting your name in for a pair of binoculars.
Where do I sign?
Where well, I'll tell you what, you won't need the sign. Neither no. you nor Johnny Cadillac here.
Oh, Johnny.
We've got a pair of binoculars for you as well.
Do we have a clap button, Johnny?
We've got
guys,
some.
Guys, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
This Vortex Crossfire awesome. Binoculars.
Folks, these are military grade here.
These are good stuff. Gorgeous, yep. gorgeous binoculars.
Wow.
These are the same ones that that our teachers will get a chance to win. And by the way, just throw it in there, we're not just doing one, we're doing two pairs of binoculars, just like we did today, two pairs of binoculars for our educators, yep. formal and informal educators.
Really, the observatory would not be experiencing the growth had it not been for you. And we want to say
Johnny and I both
you.
Appreciate that.
Thank
no,
you
you're
very much.
You're welcome. But you know, I think that we do a lot of different things on this show, and far and away for me, having you guys come in, both I get to ask kind of questions that I may have had since I was a child, or questions that were on my head on a Navy ship in some weird part, and then just I think we share the same give back to youth and education and critical thinking and always trying to expand people's minds. So it's been my pleasure to have you on. I'm glad you always come in when we talk. And yeah, I can't think of a better thing in the Lincoln area, folks, to support than Branch Oak Observatory.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again.
All right. 1499.3 KLIN.
You're getting the 411 from DTL with Commander Jack Riggins on 1499.3 KLIN.
I have to say, end of the show here real quick, but probably the best thing that's happened to Johnny and I, honestly, to be recognized as community superstars and to get these Crossfire binoculars. Really appreciate it, guys.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah.
You bet. Thank you. You're welcome.
So cool.
Yeah, I can't say thank you enough. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Johnny.
Real quick, last events, pitches.
Yep, so tomorrow night, James Arthur Vineyards and our Wine and Stargazing event. Go to jamesarthurvineyards.com and get your tickets today.
So we do have a number of events in May. We have Calvary Community Church is putting on a program. The general public is invited to that, and that is going to be on May 19th. And then May 20th, we have Cars and Stars and Tacos, too. And it's exactly what it sounds like. You'll get to come on out, see some fantastic cars. If you would like to display your car out at Cars, Stars, and Tacos, too, just go to our website. There's a registration there for this event. We'd love for you to come on out and show off your awesome
yeah.
car, and then stay for the stars and stay for a little dinner. We'll have a great taco truck. It's going to be Rico's Tacos, right from Friend, Nebraska. We'll be driving up to Branch Oak Observatory. And then, of course, we're always looking for volunteers for these events. And on May 13th, we have a volunteer drive and pizza party. So if you might like to work out at Branch Oak Observatory and help share the word about astronomy and the stars, we'd love for you to come on out so we can give you a tour and just tell you what it's all about.
That's the 13th?
And that's the 13th.
Yeah. All right, volunteers and lots of different and exciting stuff in May at Branch Oak Observatory. Folks, it's in my opinion, it's the hottest ticket in Lincoln, and it's right there with everything. Like you said, Matt, a lot of best of, a lot of world-class stuff and the instruction. It can't be beat. So appreciated. Again, thanks for coming in, fellas.
Thank you
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow, 1499.3 KLIN.